Before I get started this week, I wanted to give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a highly respected and heart-centered stress and TMS coach based in Los Angeles. She was a burnt-out high school teacher who battled chronic TMS symptoms for over 16 years, so she definitely gets the frustration of doing everything to heal and still not getting the results that you desire. It's important to note that while hard work, grit, and perseverance have driven many of our successes in life, relying solely on this masculine approach is unlikely to solve our TMS symptoms. The way out isn't through more hustle and push. Embracing concepts like surrender, ease, and feeling our emotions can be incredibly challenging, especially when relying solely on our masculine energy, which has served us so well in the past. That's why working with a coach like Jeannie can make all the difference, because healing comes from letting go, not from doing more. I encourage you to go to jeanniecolwin.com, that's JeannieKulwin.com, to book your free call and learn about her one-on-one coaching program. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. As always, if you are interested in supporting the show, monetarily speaking, and you're not a business or something like that, or you're not Jeannie Colwin, throw a few bucks in the tip jar. Go to patreon.com/themindandfitnesspodcast. There's about 24 of you out there that are making contributions, and I definitely appreciate your help and your support. So, it's going to be like a hodgepodge episode today. There's a kind of a few concepts that I have on my mind. I hopped over to the TMS Wiki. You can find this at tmswiki.org/forum, actually. It's one of my favorite places to go in this space. It's got a litany of information. It's got a great success stories database that you can always check out, and that's a lot of times where I will lead people. But it also has Alan Gordon's pain recovery program. It's a really nice, very bite-sized program that you can do for free, and it basically has you learning about something every single day. So the idea is not that you go there and you do, I think there's 30 lessons. You don't do 30 lessons in one sitting, but instead you do a lesson today and a lesson tomorrow and a lesson the next day. And you kind of interpret all the information in that way. But the part of this that I like checking in sometimes are around the discussion forums. There was somebody that posted this thing, and I've talked about this in the podcast before, but I have a couple of different, a couple of things came to mind when I was reading this. So this person asked, how do we feel emotions? I can't seem to do this. I end up suppressing them. So this is actually found in Alan Gordon's pain recovery program, which the link is right above this person's post. But a couple different ways to think about this. So for some people, the thought is that, hey, like wherever it is that you're feeling the pain, that is the emotion. So being able to zero in on that. I think that's difficult to do. But what you can do, and what Alan Gordon would recommend, is let's say that it is my foot, as an example, that hurts. Let's say I have like plantar fasciitis pain. So I'm zeroing in on my foot and describing what's going on in my head, or I can do it out loud, basically in a non-threatening way. The idea behind this is pain reprocessing therapy. So I am labeling it. I'm saying that it feels tight, or it feels like it's burning, or it feels like the real brass tacks of it is that you're trying to find like non-threatening terms. So not this hurts so bad, or this is the most pain I've ever felt, but being able to just describe it. How can you describe it? What that's doing is kind of lowering the stakes. So I could say that it feels hard, or it feels tight, or it feels like I've stepped on a rock or something like that. Instead of saying, again, this is the most awful pain of all time, and it feels like electrical bolts are shooting into my foot and all that kind of stuff. And the idea is that kind of the more that you can do that, the less threatening, or the less threatened your nervous system feels. The best example that I have of this, and I've talked quite a few times, that like if you're being, you know, because again, the whole job of the nervous system, fight or flight, or the amygdala, fight or flight, is to prepare you for safety, because that's really all that your nervous system cares about is your safety. And am I alive or am I dead? Am I dying or am I in danger or am I not? And so if you have a tiger chasing after you, you're likely going to be running. However, if you can stop and describe that situation in a calm and rational manner, then maybe it's not so scary anymore. And this sort of brings you down to speed. To me, like, this has a lot of roots in like CBT therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, because the more that we can like reframe a situation and sort of take a step back and take ourselves out of it, sort of the better off that you'll be. This reminds me also of something that we're working on with our oldest daughter right now. There's a lot of emotions being 10 years old and entering fifth grade. And the first day of school as I record this was today. But one of the challenges is how well do we feel like we relate to other people? You know, oftentimes as kids, and I'm sure that just about all of us that are listening at this point in time can remember what it was like to be that young, and you feel out of place and you don't belong in a lot of senses, probably. And sometimes somebody treats you how you perceive to be bad, or poorly, and suddenly it seems like you're being attacked when really maybe it's not that way at all. So can you take a step back and sort of reframe that situation, and in this case, the pain, and be able to look at it from almost like a third eye or another lens? Like you're the sixth person on the bench, speaking in terms of basketball, or the 12th person speaking in terms of American football. So that's something that I was thinking about was, this person had done that post about feeling emotions, but the other way is being able to do some somatic tracking work, which this is also talked about in, Alan Gordon's, book, but his program as well. And the way that I really like to do it is zeroing in on that space at your sternum, where oftentimes you feel negative emotions. So being able to zero in on that space, be able to close your eyes and just sort of be with it for a few minutes. And for some people, this might take 5 minutes or 6 minutes, but it's not meant to be one of those hour-long exercises or hour and a half or even 20 or 30 minutes. Something that is very, very bite-sized that you can do throughout the day and almost check in with yourself, or not almost, but check in with yourself, and be able to really pay attention and get in tune with yourself. Because again, the more times that you can stop the situation, take a step back, see it from a third point of view, the less threatening everything seems, if that makes sense. And I hope that it does. Another post that caught my eye. So let's see here. This person had said, I got to go back to page one. Hang on. Well, that's a little bit longer of a thing than I want to read. thinking more about this idea of being able to sort of take yourself back. Oftentimes when I talk about this TMS stuff, to me, I always say like, I could interview Schubiner, I could interview Schechter, I could interview Sachs, I could interview Dr. Hanscom, I could interview really anybody in this space. And though they are all different people, different practitioners who've written books on different topics, and they call it different things, may call it TMS or PPD or mind-body syndrome or stress illness or, you know, whatever the case may be, I hear the same language. I hear the same things discussed over and over again. And all of them seem to have this thing in common where being able to sort of take a step back, whether it be like journaling as an example, and Schubiner talks quite a bit in his book about, I can't remember the name of the therapy, but being able to like write out a situation or write out a letter, being able to shred it afterwards, of course, but being able to say whatever it is that you want in that. Nicole Sachs, this is journal speak as well. But being able to, you know, say that you're super mad at your boss or your spouse or your neighbor or your friend or whatever, and writing just the most vile letter to them, expressing everything that you can't say out loud or to them, and then burning it when you're done. You know, spending 10 or 15 or 20 minutes doing something like that. And this is something that it seems like kind of all of the experts are really talking about. Sarno has it in his book, and Sachs has it in her book, and even Adam Heller has this in his book as well. Some kind of expressive writing or some kind of descriptive or emotion writing like that. It seems to be in all these people's books. So for the next week or so, I am going to be out in Grand Cayman. Next week's episode you're going to hear is going to be going back into the vault. So listening to a classic interview on this podcast while I'm going to be on the other side of the world. And actually, this is for, I don't know if Miriam Gauci Bongiovanni, is listening right now, but if she is in Malta, and next week's President's Club trip is in Malta, and it would be awesome to be able to get out there and maybe even meet up. I don't know how big, I can't remember how big Malta is, but it'd be cool to see her out there. So thanks for joining me on this super bite-sized episode, but I wanted to make sure that I touch base on those couple of things that jumped across my desk a little bit earlier today, and I will talk to y'all next week.